Dear members of St. Timothy, brothers and sisters in Christ, most importantly, fellow redeemed in the blood of the risen Christ Jesus, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Spring, although it may not seem that way this morning, is a beautiful and an exciting time of transformation. When the gray and drabness of winter gives way to the wonders and colors and new life and the rainbow of colors around us and the flowers and the trees. One of the great paintings of the transformation of spring is seen in the small flower, the daffodil. There's a poem about it. Daffodils in early spring seem to cheer up everything. Little sermons do they preach, valued lessons too they teach. Growing up from murky mire, higher thoughts they would inspire, though they're planted in the ground, far above it, they are found. Yet all the beauty and excitement of God's creation and the transformation of spring is but a harbinger of the real beauty and excitement found not in the transformation of the flowers, not in the transformation of the trees, but in the transformation found in the resurrection of Jesus Christ the Lord. There's a third verse to that poem, and it says, "There's a flower pure and true, blooming air before our view. From the darkness of the tomb, where he lay in deepest gloom, Jesus rose, his life to pour, sweetest fragrance evermore." Nothing like the excitement and beauty that is brought into the world in the transformation through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We see that this morning in the readings of Scripture, how it brought transformation in the lives of his first disciples. In the gospel reading, we heard how it was the first day of the week, the day of resurrection, Sunday. The women and the men who had gone to the tomb and seen and heard spectacular things had come back. But where do we find them? Not out celebrating and singing great hymns. They were in a room. The shutters closed, the doors locked. It was evening. And if there was any light in that room at all, which I'm certain there was, it must have been this flicker of candlelights. And not only was the room dim, but also their hearts. Their hearts were dim and dark with fear. Fear of what might happen to them. What really had taken place that day? They did not understand. And were they next? Were they going to be arrested and killed simply because of their association with Jesus? Then a transformation took place. And their fear was replaced with joy, with gladness. Their confusion was replaced with peace. And then we fast forward to the reading in the book of Acts. And it's a while later, much later, the development of the church. And they were no longer hiding in fear of the Jews. They, in fact, had gone to the synagogue to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. And God was working miracles through them, and multitudes of men and women were turning to Jesus, repenting of their sins, believing in him, and finding forgiveness and salvation. And even when the high priest had them arrested and thrown in the public prison, they weren't afraid any longer. They weren't hiding. They weren't wondering what was going on. God sent an angel and set them free. And what did the angel do? Tell them to get out of town? No. Go back to that synagogue and continue to preach. Continue to tell the people about Jesus. And they did it. No fear, no confusion, no trepidation, no darkness, but bold proclamation of Jesus Christ. The angel says, speak to the people all the words of this life, which they did. And when they were challenged by the leadership of the synagogue and the Sadducees, who, by the way, denied the resurrection, any resurrection, what did they boldly say? We must obey God rather than men. Again, what a spectacular transformation had taken place in the lives of these men. What brought it about? What brought it about was what Peter boldly proclaimed to the leaders of the temple. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. What brought about that transformation from fear and anxiety and confusion to joy and gladness and boldness? Nothing but the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In the person of Jesus Christ, they had come to see and to understand and believe that God the Son had taken on human nature, subjected himself to all the laws of God, and subjected himself to all the temptations to sin. Satan did his worst in connection with Jesus Christ, yet he never sinned. And when his work was done, he offered himself up on the cross of Calvary to complete the payment for mankind's sin. And how did they know this was true? Because of the resurrection. He is risen, the angel said. God has accepted his perfect, complete payment for the sins of mankind and brings salvation to all who will believe. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. And again in 1 Peter, he bore our sins in his body on the tree. And way back in Isaiah, it was forecast, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. They understood now what Isaiah was talking about. That was Jesus. That God had laid on him the sins of all mankind, past, present, and future. And he took it to that cross and he died there and shed his body and blood in payment for it. And with the resurrection, God proves that all the scripture says of Jesus is true. As John writes in chapter 2, destroy this temple, Jesus said, and I will raise again in 3 days. And he did. And that God has accepted his sacrifice, Paul writes in Romans 1, he was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. How do we know the promises of God to you are true, to me, and you and me are true? Because Jesus Christ is alive. He is risen. There is no tomb where you will find his body. He is risen from the dead. He is the resurrection and the life, so that whoever believes in him, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in him shall never die. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And it transformed their lives, even to the point that they were all willing to go to death to proclaim the wondrous news of the resurrection. John, willing to go to Patmos. It was no picnic. It was no trip to Hawaii. It was a harsh, difficult circumstances. He was an old man by that time. But they didn't care, because they were sent by God to tell the message of God's love in Christ. Their lives were transformed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. No longer did they fear death, but lived in the gladness of forgiveness and life. No longer did they hide, but boldly told the good news to others, that they might repent and believe and have forgiveness and salvation. The resurrection transformed the lives of the first disciples. And the transforming power of Jesus' resurrection continues today, my friends. Without the resurrection, our hearts would likewise be locked up in the darkness, with the doors shut and the shutters locked, in the darkness of sin, without any hope in the world. As Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and we are still in our sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. And as we confess in our creeds, every day we sin. Every day we sin in our thoughts, in our words, and our deeds. We sin in ways we know and in ways we don't know. And the wages of sin is death. If Christ be not raised, we have no hope. But Paul goes on to write, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. Christ the first fruits, then it is coming those who belong to Christ. Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification, that whoever believes in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. Many years ago, a writer walked across the Valley of Dead Men in the South Sea Islands. Looking back over the way, he saw his tracks in the sand and marked how crooked his path had been, though he had intended and tried to walk a straight line. It became a parable to him. He said, "This is my life. Every footprint crooked." Then he says, "I fell asleep. And when I awakened hours afterwards, I could see no marks at all in the sand. Every footprint was gone. Not one to be seen. The tide had been in. And when it receded, there were no signs of the crooked steps. And I said to my soul, he writes, that is my fresh reminder of what God has done for me. And that is a reminder of what God has done for you and me as well. As we celebrate not just his death on the cross, but even more importantly, his resurrection from the dead. Then we know with absolute certainty that God has accepted his sacrifice. And not for some, not for many, not even for most of your sins, great or small as they might be. But he has paid the debt for them all. All. How hope engendering, gloom dispelling, transforming are his gracious words of promise. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. When sins would weigh you down, when sins would fill yourself with gloom and doom and darkness and try to drive out the light of Christ in your hearts and the certainty of your forgiveness, do not turn inward and say, what can I do to ignite the flame, to cause it to get bigger? What fuel can I put on it that I might once again have the peace that Jesus gave his disciples and had given me before? Because then you will never achieve it. But instead, my friends, look not just to the cross, but especially to the empty tomb. Confess your sins to God. And in love, through the resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ, you find forgiveness. And in the resurrection, that light will shine brightly, and Satan cannot stand against it. But he will fill your hearts and your lives with comfort, with joy, and with the words that he said to his apostles, peace be with you. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.